right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of a Fresh Juice and Indie Game Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Matty Juice! What is going on, everybody? I figured I would add to the little wind-up there, you know, with the intro, and who knows, next week it'll be even longer, so...
Absolutely. You know, I think this is like the best thing you can do in a podcast. Wind up and then at the end you wind down, right? You kind of and to be honest, it reminds me of what happened this weekend where I woke up an hour earlier than I planned on. I was hoping to sleep in a little bit.
Yeah.
Fire in the town. And our town has a really loud fire alarm. So I don't even know if it was a fire. Maybe it was like a rescue squad thing. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's annoying. They need to stop it. And early, right? Whatever.
Yeah. Everybody doesn't need to know there's a fire. Just the firefighters, right? Just like, what are we doing? Call them,
yeah. Right? Hey, like, say, hey, listen, we appreciate that you volunteer for this fire company. That's awesome. Rather than letting everybody know, and then hopefully you hear as well, how about you just have your own little walkie-talkie, or this is crazy, a cell phone that you leave on not silent, on loud is what you get. Yeah. on loud. And, you know, if there's an emergency, we'll call you. So just some things that we're working on here in the municipality that I live in. I'll be talking to the council and saying this is too much. But anyway, we got a great show for you. It's Dungeons of Hinterberg, which is a game we talked about when we first started doing this podcast. And it's interesting, and I can't wait to talk about it, to be honest, and to kind of explore what it means for the state of indie games and what people are liking these days in general. I think there's a lot that I think exists within this game that we can talk about. Now, before we do that, what's going on with you? How you doing? How was your weekend? Wait a second. Whoa.
Tell me.
Where are you even?
What?
Wait, you say it. You say it.
What am I saying?
You hit a milestone.
Oh, I hit a milestone. Yes. I hit 10,000 YouTube subscribers over the weekend. So that was pretty cool. You know, the Once Human community has been awesome. The Juice Heads are equally as awesome. Don't worry. But it's been a lot of fun. So I did like a celebratory kind of stream on Sunday. It was like a 6-hour stream, and I was with like this other content creator I've been chatting with named Glitches, and we did like a bunch of cool stuff in the game for like 6 hours. It was awesome. It was a good time, and it's just the beginning as well. You know, it's just a number, right? So now I'm working on a lot more stuff, but yeah, that was pretty cool this weekend. So that was honestly something that, when I first started my YouTube channel, God, in like 2008, like I've had multiple channels, but when I first really got into YouTube, I always thought, like, I was like, 10,000 is like, that would be a cool number to hit. And I don't think I'll ever hit that. I mean, it's also been a long journey on YouTube. So now that things are like picking up a little bit, you know, it's been pretty cool to like get there. Because only, you know, I was at like 7,000 subscribers not that long ago. So it's been pretty cool. It's been cool. Yeah. So, thanks for, I wasn't even thinking of that when I was like, I literally do not know what you're talking about, but yeah, that did happen.
Well, I haven't stopped thinking about it, buddy. Listen, when I saw that, I was like, you know what? I saw the future. You ever watch That's So Raven?
Oh, I still do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a banger of a show. I had a That's So Raven moment. The camera went into my eye. We went to the universe, and know what I saw? I saw people saying Mr. Beast looks like Matty Gorm, and it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. Yeah. We're going to be, you know, driving Lamborghinis off cliffs soon, and giving a homeless man $1 million at the bottom of the cliff after we get out of the Lamborghini. It's going to be really cool. I mean, I would watch that video, to be honest.
I would too. I would not want to be filming it. But it's exactly what's going to happen. Actually, speaking of, you reminded me, because also this weekend I went to our county fair, which was fun. You know, for the past few years, it's been like thunderstorming, raining, during this fair time. So finally this year, it was like perfect weather, not too hot, not too cool, no rain. So it was a good, time going there, but you reminded me because, of That's So Raven at this fair, they have a bunch of animals, right? You can go like check out the animals and stuff. And they have like a section where there's a bunch of horses, and they usually the owner of the horse, or like the, I guess the person who usually rides the horse, kind of makes like a little sort of poster of like facts about the horse and all that sort of stuff. So one of them that we saw, it says, it had a sign that said, "Everybody loves Raymond." Okay. Like the logo of Everybody Loves Raymond, but it had Raymond crossed out, and they wrote Raven. And okay. I was like, why wouldn't you just have That's So Raven as the logo? I was like, it's already in the name, you know? Nobody loves Raven, okay? Everybody loves Raymond, okay? Yeah. And That's So Raven, you know? Yeah.
we need to talk to these people. I mean, my town.
That poor horse.
And the horse people. These horsey people are crazy. Listen, I don't want to make waves here, but horsey people, what are you doing? That's cool. We love a good fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go on any rides, or are you just kind of like walking around doing your thing?
Yeah. I'm not going on fair rides anymore. Just because, one, they're like pretty small and I'm pretty big. And also two, I don't trust them. You know, like there's been horror stories, and I mean, I used to go on them and all that stuff, but honestly, I prefer doing like the carnival games, you know, like shooting the water into the target, like those flipping the frogs, all that sort of stuff. I like doing that kind of stuff, even if it is, you know, kind of the odds are stacked against me with those sort of games. But we made little candles, you know, you can make candles there. They got like the sand art and the candle art. That was cool. I was, you know, we ate some food, checked out some bands that were there. We saw this show called Mutts Gone Nuts, and it was just kind of like a dog show with like they were doing all these crazy tricks. Some of these dogs, man, they jump like twice my height in the air. It's like ridiculous. Like no fence can contain these dogs. So that was pretty wild. And then I usually get kettle corn on the way out of this fair.
No
kettle corn's great. Over the years, though, I did not get any kettle corn because, well, one, they only took cash. I didn't have enough cash on me at the time because I spent it on the food and stuff.
Sure.
So wasn't able to get it because of that. But I'm glad I didn't pay for it because over the years, like they used to have these big bags of kettle corn, right? There'd be like a large and a small that you could get. I would usually just get the small. And that was totally fine. It was like, I don't know, like $6 for the small. Now, literally, it's like they only have one size. It's like a third of the size of what the large used to be. And it's $10. And I'm just like, this is like the bag is still the large size. They just only fill it a third of the way and then tie it. And I'm just like, what? Why are you doing that? It's kettle corn. It's supposed to be cheap. It's not like it's, you know, you got gold flakes in there or something, like Jesus, or truffle, you know? I mean, like, what are we doing here? So that was just a little bit of a disappointment at the end because I'm like, oh, I always get it on the way out because it's right at the exit. And it was just, you know, it just, it's not the same. I feel like I'm a boomer talking about this stuff, but it's true. You know, it's like ridiculous. Come on.
I mean, what, you know, listen, I believe you. I want to put that out there. I believe you. But what if you mentioned you're a grown up, you're big, right? Yep. Now you're a grown up. Maybe it just seems small.
No, I swear to God, like this thing, like Tom, it used to be like a body pillow. Okay. It was, I swear to God, it was like a body pillow of kettle corn. Okay. Listen. And now it's like a pillow.
Yeah. Maybe okay.
Not a half a pillow.
Okay, Grandpa, let's get you to bed.
You know what? You do the rest of the episode by yourself, okay? Yeah, but, it, you know, it is what it is, but it's pastures. Just like, you know, I just wanted some kettle corn, man.
I get
That's
it.
All I wanted, you I know? Mean,
kettle corn does slap. It really does. My go-to fair food is always fried Oreos. Those, I mean,
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not a sweets guy normally, but like fried Oreos, for whatever reason, just like through the moon. And yeah. Actually, when we get to your recommendation later, I might have to bring up another sweet that I'm enjoying as well. So cool. Maybe I am a sweets guy.
Maybe.
Who knew? But,
you know, getting older, liking the sweets.
Hey, you know, the sweeties. I'm back on the sweeties, folks. But my I didn't go to a fair this weekend. First, I watched a lot of the Flesh and Blood Pro Tour that was in Amsterdam this weekend. And a lot of great games, great coverage. They did a great job. And the only unfortunate thing was the venue, I guess the convention center where they set up, was like, I guess they must have had just skylights, right? Like, just like it's all windows. So yeah. Like half the time, like one of the broadcasters would just be blinded by light. And it's like, eventually they got like a canopy for the second day, but the first day, like, I don't think they planned for it. So it was kind of funny, but that was cool. And then on Saturday, I hung out with my friend Will, Pat, our cousin Dan. I hadn't seen Will since he had a baby, so that was cool to see him. We played some yard games. We played my game. We played a little bit of Moonrakers too. It was a good time.
Nice.
And then Sunday, I had work, right? But I had this thing. I had to go do a sampling, and it's an hour away. And I wake up. My only day to sleep in. I wake up early, and I get ready. Go do my stuff, go to drive an hour, get there. And they're like, yeah, do you have that paperwork that we told you to get? And I was like, what paperwork? It's like, yeah, you have to get like, we make people email somebody for us now. And I didn't have it. So they're like, we can't do it. You came to do. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll just turn around and go home.
So, oh my God.
I mean, it was nice that I didn't have to work late, but like, it was annoying that I even had to go out there. So whatever.
Yeah.
I was a little PO'd that day, but we recentered and we had a good rest of the day. And now we're here, played some of the game yesterday, which was fun. We got a great episode, folks. And we got news. We got a lot of news. First, biggest news ever, Discord. Fresh Juice, the Juice Heads. You got to hang out in there. It's a great time. We are, you know, yucking and jiving in there. We're getting crazy. We're throwing out game recommendations. We're talking about memes. The funniest, like, you would think after 20 years, Lord of the Rings memes would be done, right? There's no more good ones. And then the funniest one ever will get dropped. And there was a really funny Lord of the Rings meme that was dropped in our Discord, and I've since seen it a lot of times since then, but it was a banger, folks. It was so good. But I remember a couple weeks ago, our dear listener Capolo, aka Wario, was talking about demos, a lot more demos these days. And you found a little bit of an article here about demos.
Yeah, this is coming from Sports Illustrated. There we go. SI.com. I know we brought it up before, didn't know what it was, and that's what it is. But this is, it's basically just talking about how the Steam Next Fest has single-handedly brought demos back on the radar, right? So this article kind of goes into some depth about, you know, a lot of people are kind of fed up, right? They're tired of paying for games that are incomplete. You know, waiting for updates to happen that might not, you know, may or may not contain the fixes, the updates that they're specifically looking for. So the Steam Next Fest, which has been happening, a few times, has really just like they've been promoting demos so much, and so many more games these days, especially indies, offer demos on Steam. And yeah, just kind of reiterating what like kind of Campolo asked in that previous episode, demos are back. And it's just really great to see. I enjoyed reading the article, kind of just talking. It kind of goes over a few different games, does some developer interviews of how demos are like improving the overall experience of people that are getting into their games. And yeah, I just honestly, I think there's no downsides of having a demo, even if it's a very limited demo, right? Maybe it's only like even a time demo, right? Which is like, I feel like kind of like something that's a little bit more old school these days. Like typically I don't really see time demos unless maybe it's at something like PAX or, you know, you're at a convention. And even that though is a great little kind of sample of a game. And yeah, we're just, you know, there's so many games these days that I just feel like demos need to happen for every game that comes out. Like I want a demo for it so I can try it out. That's honestly before we kind of had this new influx of demos coming in with the Steam Next Fest, I would play betas and alphas for games for that exact reason. Now that's not the best thing to do because they're not obviously complete yet. So it can be tough to really get an idea, but I would, if I had any interest in a game, I would sign up for their alpha, I'd sign up for their beta, just so that I got to try it out for free without actually having to buy it. And there were a lot of games I ended up not getting because I did not have fun in the alpha and beta. So I'm hoping this is a big trend that continues on. But yeah, overall, it's really just great to see demos back in the mix.
I mean, 100%, right? Because there are so many demos, like, first of all, that we play that we're like, whoa, this is next level. I really enjoyed the Star Vaders demo, you know, and then a couple of things. I mean, we played a Boar Blasters demo. Yeah, that was like pretty dope. And we're like, whoa, this game's freaking sick. And then you get really hyped for the game. You put it on your wish list and then it comes out. And I'm looking here and they mentioned a couple of games that have like early access or closed betas or demos right now. And one that I'm like, I keep looking at the screenshot. It's As We Descend, which it looks like a action RPG deck builder roguelite. I mean, what are we doing here? Isometric craziness. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go take a look. And you look and it's like, oh, you can sign up for the closed beta. And I'm like, oh, maybe I can get in the closed beta. And then maybe there's another deck builder roguelite that I'm going to be obsessed with for months and months and months and months. So
yeah,
this is really cool. I really love to see this. And like, it's just smart. And it puts pressure also on, like, if people are putting out good demos, it puts pressure on other people to put out good demos, right? So like, it's so important. And what we talked about a game last week that like the demo was like probably too good, right? Where like so many people eventually made it free because people didn't even get past the demo's content because there's so much content in the demo, which is maybe don't do that much if you're business minded, I guess, but super cool to see now.
Yeah.
Something, I mean, maybe we should start with the bad news first, but Humble, we've talked about Humble Bundle quite a bit. Humble Games has reportedly laid off entire staff, but says it won't impact operations, which makes me feel a little icky on the inside. What's your take here?
Yeah, it's honestly just sad to see. I know this has kind of been the theme for the year, right? Of a lot of game studios shutting down, layoffs happening, especially for indies. But specifically for Humble, I mean, it sucks to see this because Humble Bundle and, you know, Humble Games and that whole kind of company has always been about, I don't know, just it always had like this great community feel to it, I feel like, because it was, you know, if you buy a Humble Bundle of games, you're going to be, you know, a part of that goes to charity. So it kind of just was like this almost group effort, I felt like, from gamers of like trying to support Humble Bundle over the years. And of course, like the quality of those Humble Bundles has kind of, you know, there's variation in the quality of them. Sometimes it's not great. Sometimes it's just like too good of a deal not to get. And it just really sucks to see this particularly because I feel like the gaming community has really supported Humble Bundle over the years. And now they're laying off, you know, they've laid off their entire staff. It was about 36 people from Humble Games. And it's just a bummer to see because I just feel like, you know, I don't know. We've been giving them so much support, and this is something that as the gaming community, like, we don't want to see, you know, and when it happens to a company like this, it just sucks. So it seems like it kind of caught the employees by surprise, which seems to also be the theme for the year. I don't really know why they're kind of doing it that way. I feel like you should give them some sort of notice, especially just because, you know, it seems like it's hard to maybe get another job. So it's giving them a little bit extra time saying, hey, you know, we got to make some cuts. You know, by the end of this month, like, we're going to dissolve the studio or something like that would probably be a little bit better than kind of surprising people with it. So yeah, not much more to say here for this, but it just sucks to see for a company like Humble, that has done so much good over the years. And now is kind of, you know, Humble Games, Humble, not really seen in the best light, by the community from some of the comments I've seen. So, yeah, just sucks overall.
Yeah. It makes me like, I don't know. I understand that like the entire goal of business or whatever is to make money, right? To make profit. And yes, it's just capitalism. That's how it works. But like, What kind of world do we live in where we don't want to have people work for us and where we don't want them to have a comfortable life? And what's the point here, right? What's the point of having a business, like, to be a soulless thing, right? Where you don't have people yep. under you and you just make all the profits and yada, yada, yada. I think you're totally within your rights to do so. Now, I will say that everybody else is within their rights to not support businesses like that. And not saying you should or shouldn't, but maybe, I don't know. Listen, I'm just saying it's just a shame. It makes me really sad to see, because what are we just all not going to have jobs because everything is outsourced and everybody can make restructure their businesses to not need people? Like,
yeah,
it's a slippery slope kind of argument, but like, you know, it's hard not to go down that slope when you see these things happen. So yeah, I get a little miffed, you know, when I see this stuff.
I agree. And I, you know, not to get in a whole conversation about this specifically, but I think a lot of people from like our generation and the generations like after us, you know, we're not in this mindset of like, you know, we need to keep growing, grow our business. Like, I feel like we are the generation that's the first one that's like content with, okay, yeah, like we're making good money. Like, even for my day job, I'm just like, why do we need to keep expanding? I know that sounds ridiculous, but I'm just like, we're doing fine. How about we focus on what we're doing now and make that better rather than try to expand more? And then, yeah, sometimes you bite off more than you can chew, which is what happened with COVID, right? All these companies hired a ton of people and then we had mass layoffs because of it. It's just like that. What are we doing here? Like, why are we even doing that? So yeah, not to get into too much, but it just seems like that's something that's happening here with Humble. And yeah, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
So yeah, if you check our Amazon wish list, it is all Karl Marx and
yeah. Yep.
No, just kidding. But yeah, well, it sucks. Sorry to Humble, the employees, the former employees of Humble Games, because it is a shame and hate to see it. But guess what? I have faith that those people will find a spot. But it's unfortunate that that is a thing that they have to deal with. So
yeah.
But let's talk about something good. Maybe Dungeons of Hinterberg, brand new game. When did it come out, actually?
This game came out on July 18th, so about 11 days ago from when we're recording this. And if you're listening on the first day we published this, I guess that would be like 13 days mm-hmm. ago. So about 2 weeks ago, if you're listening.
Yeah, so let's get right into it. So this is a game. This little blurb here, armed with a sword and tourist guide, explore the beautiful alpine village of Hinterberg and uncover the magic hidden within its dungeons, master magic, solve puzzles, slay monsters, all this and more await you in Hinterberg. So this game opens up, to be honest, in a not dissimilar way to like Stardew Valley, right? Where we have our main character and, this is where the differences from Stardew Valley happen. But, you know, our main character is sick and tired of the malaise of working a 9-to-5. And, you know, how relatable is that? So there she is headed to Austria. I think it's in Austria, Hinterberg or whatever. And this crazy thing has happened where these magical dungeons appeared, right? We live this is like the real world, but magical dungeons happened in this area. So it's become like a resort, almost like a vacation destination. So our main character is headed out there, and to kind of, you know, this is what I want to do, right? Like, I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. I don't want to work my ass off for like 80 hours a week anymore. I want to go experience this like once in a lifetime opportunity, which I think, first of all, is a great setup for the game. So you get there, and you know, it's pretty like right away, right into the gameplay. You know, we'll talk about the story, but gameplay, you know, you get there, they're like, hey, go talk to this guy, Klaus. He's going to help train you. And then you're going to kind of learn how to do these dungeons that are in this wonderful place that we live in now. And so you go, you do this tutorial level. The tutorial level is, you know, pretty easy, pretty straightforward. You're running around just hacking and slashing with a short attack and a heavy attack. Right, or a light attack and a heavy attack. So you're going around and you kill these little, you can see them on the screen right now, like these are like tentacles that are coming out of the ground. It's like the evil magic that's in this world or whatever. And kind of work your way through these levels, these dungeons, and solve puzzles, and usually fight some enemies. And then the bosses are not anything crazy, right? They're pretty easy, they're pretty straightforward. Where any of the challenges come in this game, I believe, is in the actual puzzles themselves. So this is going to be a common theme of this review, at least on my side, right? So you can play this game and you're going to get a lot of Breath of the Wild, right? And it's a lot of that in its feel, the enemies in a way, and even just kind of running around. There's no jump button. You got to just, it's just like Zelda, no jump button. You're just running around. And you're swiping and killing these enemies. And the difference is here, though, these dungeons, right, feel like classic Zelda dungeons, where, you know, that was always the biggest complaint, at least among, you know, my circles, that Breath of the Wild's awesome, Tears of the Kingdom's awesome, but like these dungeons don't really feel like Zelda dungeons anymore. Which is whatever. That was like I mean, obviously those games are still amazing, but some people really like those really classic Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask dungeons.
Yeah.
And in this, it's just giving you those dungeons over and over again. Right. So if you're someone like me, who's like, man, I miss the really cool Zelda dungeons, this might be for you. Right. So that was the kind of cool thing. You know, you get access to different magic abilities as well as you progress through the game. There's different regions that you can go to with multiple different dungeons. And within each region, there is magic abilities locked to those regions. And they both help you in combat and in your puzzle solving, you know, kind of escapades in these dungeons. So the gameplay for me, though, I really liked it. It's at times a little clunky, but you know, the core gameplay here, right, like of going through these dungeons is very satisfying, especially for me, who really likes, you know, some puzzle-esque dungeons and kind of Zelda-esque things going on, as well as some other things that happened in this game where in between going to the dungeons, you're back at the village, and in the village, you can, you know, make friends and relationships and build relationships and kind of do village things. That's where it almost kind of feels like Stardew Valley in a way, right? So it's blending a lot of different things into one thing that feels unique somehow. So that's my take on the gameplay. What was your experience with it?
Yeah, it's definitely a blend of like a social simulator and a, you know, like an ARPG. And from my point of view, you know, I did have a good time with the dungeons. You know, there's not a lot of enemy variation with the at least like the three different worlds that I had played. I think there's four total that you can go to, four different towns or worlds, whatever you want to call it. There's not a ton of like variation with enemies. You know, they do get harder. But as far as, you know, the kind of the duality of the game with the social sim and the ARPG, I actually kind of found myself doing more of the social stuff than I was thinking I would do, because looking at this game, especially trailer wise, I was kind of thinking, yeah, more like Breath of the Wild sort of vibes, where like, okay, I'm going to have like a lot to explore here. But really, yeah, it's kind of these, you know, it's not really open world. There's like certain parts, you know, but it still feels very like linear when you're doing the dungeons and when you're finding the dungeons. And I just, yeah, I found myself doing the social sim stuff more than I was thinking. And the main reason for that is because the better relationships you have with these characters, the more things you can unlock. So you can unlock extra dungeons. You can unlock, you know, the ability to like upgrade your weapon. You can get more health, things like that, by building these relationships. So what I was doing, because as the listeners know, and you probably know, Tom, I'm not a big like dialogue guy in games. Like I just like to skip through it. So luckily this game, and you can see it in the bottom left of the gameplay, has a fast forward button. So I would literally use, I've been using that quite a bit when it came to like, you know, kind of these one-off conversations I would have. Like if it was kind of a part of the main story, I'd pay attention a little bit more. But yeah, I kind of found myself doing the social sim stuff more, and then going into the dungeons was, you know, it was fine. You know, I do get Zelda vibes, like old school Zelda vibes from it, which was nice being able to try to think about like, okay, you know, I know I remember one dungeon in particular. I was honestly stuck. I was like, I don't know what to do here. And it was because I forgot I had another ability that would let me like pick up certain things, kind of like telekinesis, and use it. So after I figured that out, it's like that great like aha moment you get like with Zelda games. You're like, oh, like this is how you do this. And then from there, it just kind of you always remember that. I have to remember like I had to use all my skills, to use all my abilities. So that was great, that part. But I honestly wanted more of the dungeons versus more of the social sim. I know they're trying to blend the two genres together, and I think that's fine to try something like that. But I am not a social sim guy. I don't really play those games too much. I mean, I know like Stardew, again, like I'm not a dialogue guy. I don't want to have a lot of dialogue. I'm doing it to just get the upgrades. And I just kind of wish that maybe some of these upgrades were really kind of locked behind what you do in the dungeons, because the game is called Dungeons of Hinterberg, right? I kind of was thinking it would be more focused on the dungeons. And I also was kind of thinking it might be more of like Moonlighter vibes, right? Moonlighter, that's the name of that game, mm-hmm. right? It's been a while since I played that one, where like that was very much about, you know, going into the dungeons and you know, or whatever you want to call it. And that was most of the game, I felt like. There was still kind of the social side of the game because you're like running a shop. But I was kind of thinking this game would be like basically that, but as like with a Breath of the Wild sort of influence. And from what I found out, at least, the only thing you can really get out of a quest that is tied to the dungeons is trading monster parts that you find with this like group of people that kind of, you know, they kind of hang out. They kind of look like enemies. You trade monster parts with them. You give them 100 monster parts. You get like a bigger health potion. And then you get another quest for 200 monster parts, and then like so on from there. That was the only thing I found that was like a quest that was kind of tied to the dungeons, really. And like that to me is like not what I was looking for with the gameplay. I wanted the dungeons to be a bigger part of the game overall. I appreciate everything they did with the social sim, because I don't think it's at a point where I was like bored of doing the social stuff. Like the town is interesting. There's plenty to talk about with like the art of the town that we'll get into, and like it obviously feeds into the story. But for me, I was just looking for a little bit more out of the dungeon side of things versus the town and relationship side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely get that, because, you know, a lot of it is tied to the story, which I do think the story is pretty fleshed out here, right? You have a lot to do, a lot of people to talk to, a whole world they built, right? And it's a very relatable kind of tale here, I would say. Like, especially for people in our age group, like, the working malaise is a real thing, right? It's just is. The grind can be so much, and you just want to go do something. And sometimes it's just playing a video game. And for our main character here, she just is going to a place with magic, right? And I think such a great setup that really lends itself to you exploring and doing the things within the game, and it make total sense with what is going on with our main character, right? It's a real way that, like, she basically states, it's like, I need to get away, I need to do this stuff. And even she even has self-doubt at one point, right? Like, the tutorial, there's like an earthquake and it's like really scary, you almost die or whatever. And then she's like, I don't know if I want to do this, right? And then she makes the decision, you know what, I mean you have options to do different dialogue. I didn't do any of the negative dialogue, to be honest. So yeah, I don't know if it's hard for me
to do that too. I'm just I want to be a good person. I don't want to give up.
Yeah, so like, she, you know, she has these moments of doubt and stuff like that, which is it gives a nice humanity to it. Now, I'm not sure what happens when you choose the negative stuff. I don't know if they're like, all right, well, see you later, and then that's the end of the game. That'd be kind of hilarious. But it definitely has a lot of heart here, and you know, all the characters feel very believable. That, like, even what's the name of the first character you run into? Alex or something like that?
Yeah.
And she's just like, yeah, I'm not like big on the tourist trap thing, but it's magic, right? Like, I couldn't miss this. I had to be here to check this out. Like, there's a reality to these characters. Like, it feels like if it happened in real life and we went there, you would run into people who are like, yeah, I'm like, what? This would not be my thing, but who am I to not go see magic dungeons? So, like, it totally makes sense. I think everything about this world is very believable. And, you know, it makes for a really fun gameplay experience through the story, I felt like. That's where it took me. I don't know how it ends or anything like that because I didn't finish the game, but it definitely kept me interested while we were playing.
Yeah. Even though I skip through a decent amount of the dialogue, I still, you know, I read plenty of it. And I agree, you know, it has kind of these, I don't know, it's because of the art style that we're talking about, but like, it was like a visual comic book, or comic books are visual, but, you know, it was like an animated comic book, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the dialogue reminded me of like, oh yeah, I would see this in like a comic book, like from a comic book character. I do think there was like a decent amount of like depth there. There's obviously like the characters, like the certain characters follow like specific tropes that you're like, you know, from other games. And that's totally fine, you know, in a world like this. But I agree, like there's something a little bit different about their dialogue that isn't so like cookie cutter, I would say, which is nice. Even like there's a particular part where like the mayor of the town, I think it's like the Onion Festival, if I remember correctly, is like, she's up on stage saying a bunch of stuff. And like, you're with Alex, and Alex is just kind of like, was that supposed to be funny? And then you have like an option to like answer of just like, you found it funny, or like, you're like, oh, I have no idea. Like, that wasn't like funny at all. And like, that's just like a small little thing that would happen, right, in real life, where you're just like, was that like, what? You know, that's happened many times. It's just like, is that, she's trying to make a joke? Like, what's going on here? As far as like the story goes with that, I thought that was fine and well done. It also the story lends itself to like teaching you the mechanics of the game as well. I mean, we're kind of seeing like the tutorial area right here. But even when you like get past the tutorial area, characters that you talk to, like, you know, you can be like, oh, where's like the next dungeon? And they'll tell you like all these different spots, but they'll be like, oh, if you go up to like the top of this mountain here, like, be careful because there's like something pretty difficult up there before you actually go into the dungeon. So you're immediately thinking, okay, like, I'm going to do these other ones first so that I can prepare for that one up there. It's not just like there's like a sign that just kind of points. I mean, there are signs in the game that point to the dungeons, but you know, you're actually going through the dialogue of the game to figure out where certain things are. And I thought that was a pretty nice touch as well. But yeah, I did skip through a good amount of the dialogue, you know, which is, that's just how I am. But then one other thing about the story that I thought was cool is that at the end of each day, you're back in your room and then you have options for the first like week or so. You're not able to really do these, but there's like a TV there and there's like a book there. And then you have options to read them. After a week, you'll actually be able to do that. But what's interesting is that this kind of ties into that social sim sort of feature that they have is, you know, that you have different kind of like, I don't know if characteristics is the right word, but you have like relaxation and you have like familiarity with like the town. Like you have all these different like kind of categories of things that you can level up. And if you're in your room, and it's, you know, you just got finished with like doing a bunch of dungeon stuff. You got finished with like talking to people in the town. Like your character is actually tired, right? And they literally say, oh, I could go to bed or maybe I could watch some TV. And if you go to watch some TV, it'll be like, oh, this will increase your relaxation. But when you wake up tomorrow, you'll have less HP. And I'm like, oh, that's like a cool way to tie those kind of categories that like actually affect your gameplay into the story so that you could be like, okay, I'm like, that happened to me earlier when I was playing. I'm like, all right, I'm going to just go to bed then. I don't want to sacrifice like health for that. And that's something that like we deal with in real life, right? Where I'm like, should I stay up till 3 a.m. playing Once Human or, you know, should I go to bed and then I'll just play it tomorrow? You know, so I like that kind of little dynamic there that you have kind of in your bedroom. But yeah, overall, you know, I was pretty happy with the story that I saw.
Yeah, it was impressive and definitely supported by the art, right? Because you mentioned the comic book style here, which it really comes through and the way that the dialogue pops in, even the way the art is as well. It reminds me, gosh, some like old Japanese computer games I would play. I forget, man, I always try to remember what the name of the one was. I remember the disc that I had. It was like weird and
Freddy the Fish.
Don't even talk to me about Putt-Putt, Freddy the Fish, man. Pajama Sam. It's on mobile. You can play it on mobile. That's awesome. If you ever want to feel like a child again, it's there. But it's got this nice kind of watercolory, you know, nice look to it. I will say at times it does get a little clunky, you know, like at least for me on my end, it would look great and then it would look a little rough for a second and then it would kind of snap back. So like, I really like what I'm seeing here, but I certainly was not perfect. And to be honest, like, I don't know, this could be on the performance side, but like there, it gets a little wonky sometimes, I think. And it bothered me to a certain extent, but it is a very pretty game. And I like the character kind of design here. And the comic book kind of thing is really cool, right? And there's no real mistaking a lot of things, right? Like everything's pretty clear, which is pretty important when you're kind of doing like puzzles and stuff like that. Like in a 3D world, you can't have it too like wonky. It felt like I do have to figure this out, but like I don't have to figure out what I'm looking at, you know what I'm saying? It was a pretty cut and clear visual representation of what you're supposed to at least be looking at, right? So I do appreciate that. Really cool style. I think the execution was maybe not all the way there, but that could have been just my experience with it.
Yeah, I do agree. Like I feel like this game has I love the art, right? Especially from like a screenshot perspective. So just like looking at that, I'm like, man, this game looks beautiful. But when you're actually playing it, I kind of almost felt like, all right, not everything should be in this art style. It kind of felt like everything, you know, they were like, all right, we're just going to make everything, you know, this kind of comic booky, almost like, is it like called cross hatching? Like the kind of art where it's, you know, whatever is it? I'm not an artist. I don't really know, but, yeah, it, not everything should really follow that, in my opinion, because I do agree. Sometimes it gets like a little busy with that art style. I do think the art is really strong, though, still. Like, it's cool that this game is in that art style. I enjoy, you know, obviously the comic book aesthetic when, you know, you're talking with the dialogue boxes and everything. But I did feel like at certain points I was like, all right, like, especially when I was in the town, I was like, okay, the, like, some things aren't like standing out enough where I would probably want them to. One thing with the town in particular, though, that I really thought was a cool idea is that you obviously have characters that you talk to regularly. So when you are kind of in that area where that character is standing, if you're far away, you can still see that character like fully in color and everything. But all the other kind of people around that character are kind of this gray color. Until you get closer up to them, then they start to fade into color and everything kind of comes alive. So I was like, oh, that's like a really interesting idea for, you know, being able to quickly find the people that you want to talk to, you know, but it still looks like it's a busy town. You know, it doesn't feel like, oh, this person's just standing here kind of by themselves. And you kind of avoid that pop in that is very like weird with certain games where like all of a sudden like textures kind of pop in or characters pop in. So I thought that was a really neat idea. But in terms of like the buildings that you have to find, I did find myself like looking at the map probably more than I should have needed to, because I was like, all right, a lot of this stuff like looks very similar. And it just wasn't like standing out like enough for me because everything was kind of in the same art style there. So it's a weird thing, because going into the game, I was like, the art style is probably going to be like the thing I love the most about the game. But as you kind of continue to play it, you start to realize like, okay, like some of it just kind of feels a little too busy. And then just in terms of like the UI, I did enjoy the UI overall. I thought it was like well done. It kind of fits with like the aesthetic of the game. The menu system is all right. It does kind of feel like maybe they could revamp. Maybe this is more on the gameplay side, but in terms of like equipping gear and things like that, I kind of felt like they could have just like a kind of a screen that shows your character with kind of like, you know, your sword, your chest piece. Like, it just was kind of weird. It was all in different tabs. That's not really on the art side, I guess, so much, but I guess it does involve art if they're going to kind of refresh it. But yeah, I mean, the game's beautiful to look at for sure. I think a lot of it has to do with the, you know, there's a lot of grass. There's a lot of like weird sort of texture issues, I guess you could say, where you're just like, this just seems like a lot right now. So yeah, that was really the only, you know, the issue I had with the art. But I honestly, it's not enough for me to not want to keep playing it. Because I do want to keep like playing the game to explore the other dungeons, because I wasn't able to beat it. But the art is something that just kind of, maybe I guess, took me a little bit by surprise, where I didn't realize it would be everything in the game would kind of look like this.
Yeah, and you know, there is something captivating about it, and it's just not perfect. Like, it's like, it's so weird. Like, we live in like a world where like we get so many perfect looking games, right? Where when it's just like not, you're like, oh, come on. Like, there's just, you're so close, but a lot of great things going on. Now, the sound, however, I think is pretty close to perfect in my opinion, because a lot of the music here is great. It fulfills the kind of like laid back vibe of the game in general, right? And that kind of probably ties into the social sim side of things, as well as just the sound effects, right? Like, you know, it's everything is, you know, it's kind of a great example of keep it simple, stupid. And you kind of touched on that with like the UI in a way. Like, it's very simple, and you know, and that's good, right? And I think that they do the same thing here. Like, it's not, never felt overwhelming in your earpods. Now, I will say, because you go through the dungeons and there's moments where you get into an area and then monsters will come. You have to beat them to progress. Sometimes when they just they kind of explode into existence, and you're just whoa, like, it scares you just a little bit. But I don't think that's a bad thing. It makes it kind of engaging, because you're like in the zone, like kind of focusing on like the puzzles and stuff like that. And then you're like, oh, yeah, maybe if I do this, and like, all right, I got through this part. Let me, what's the next puzzle? And then you walk into a room and there's enemies. And you're like, oh, I forgot. I'm also in a dungeon where I have to fight things. So not a bad thing at all. It was definitely, I think, well-designed all around, to be honest, from the sound. It sounded great to me.
Yeah, agreed. It's got this like very atmospheric kind of soundtrack to it that I guess seems like inspired by like the area that you're in as well. So when you're like out exploring a bit, it definitely feels pretty good. Especially since like you're, you know, kind of on these like mountaintops and things like that, like it just fits really well. And then, yeah, there's also like that kind of combat music that I don't know if we mentioned, but like when you get into combat in this game, there's kind of this like arena that pops up, this circle. So you can't really run away from fights. You know, you need to be sure that you actually want to fight something. But then, yeah, there's kind of its own like sort of combat music there, which I thought was good. I also had that issue with the enemies as well, or I don't know if it's an issue, but just something I noticed as well. But overall, I mean, not a lot to say with the sound. I think they did a good job with it. It's not anything that's too I wouldn't be able, if I heard this soundtrack, I wouldn't be like, okay, this is Dungeons of Hinterberg, you know, kind of soundtrack. But I don't think they were really going for that. I don't think they're really going for like this to have really have like an identity of Dungeons of Hinterberg. They really want to tie it into like the area that you're in, and kind of that region. So yeah, overall, I mean, pretty good. I feel like at the end of when I talk, I always go, yeah, overall, this is how I'm feeling. You know, I got to sum it up at the end.
No, that's what we're going to get to in a second. Performance wise, I think I did mention that it felt a little clunky at times, you know, and maybe that was on the art, maybe the gameplay, but there was some clunk going on within this game, and I think it was undeniable. Not game breaking and didn't take away from the experience, but it was something that I did notice, and I think it was worth bringing up. But what about you?
Yeah, I didn't have any like game breaking like issues, but I definitely noticed like some FPS drops and things of that nature. And, you know, I'm sure it's something that could be fixed in like an update, but I do have to think that it's related to the art. You know, I know it's not like incredibly high detailed, sort of game, but I just feel like the art puts a lot of stress onto the game, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. because of the style. So I was kind of attributing like those FPS drops to the art, but it might not end up being true. But yeah, nothing that really kept me from playing. It just sometimes it is noticeable.
Yeah, absolutely. Now it's time for our rating. But I mean, our ratings are as follows. Certified Fresh Juicies are your Balatros, your Norp Apologs of the world. A steal. This is like Angerfoot was like a solid steal. Get on sale. These are you know, things that, well, maybe Matt thinks that what was the game we played last week?
Exophobia.
Exophobia. Matt. Yeah. Maddie said that was a get on sale. I said that was a steal. You know, we disagree sometimes. And then manager special. These are games that it's hard to recommend. Maybe super genre specific. Or just like, I don't know, maybe you'll like it a lot more than us or something like that. And then finally, Spoiled Milk is something that we typically don't recommend for anybody, which we haven't had a lot of those, thankfully. But, you know, they pop up every once in a while. Now, Matthew, what yes. is your rating for Dungeons of Hinterberg?
So for Dungeons of Hinterberg, I don't know if we mentioned this, but we did get keys for the game.
We did.
Yes. Okay. And it is a $30 game on Steam, 10% off until August 1st. So I guess if you're listening to this on day one, you can get it for 10% off. But this was a tough one for me because going into the game, I kind of had higher hopes. And like maybe that was kind of the reason I'm giving it this score, but I'm giving this an on sale. And now I do think that if you're into social sim games, this could probably be bumped up to a steal. But I personally, for me, I wasn't really looking for too much of that with this game. Maybe that's my fault for not maybe doing enough research on it, but I feel like the way it was marketed was more on the dungeon side of things, and I kind of wanted more of that. So I'm giving this an on sale. I think it is a game with a lot going on that's good. But for me, I just kind of wanted to see more of the dungeon side rather than the Hinterberg side, I guess you could say. So yeah, I'm giving it an on sale. What about you, Tom?
I'm going to give it, you know, I can definitely empathize with, you know, your rating there, but my rating is going to be a low steal. And the reason is like, I think there's some issues here, right? Like some non-perfections, I would say. And then like, but I think I have to give it like a steal at least because of what I said in the beginning. It's like, do you miss the puzzle-esque dungeons of Zelda? Yes. If so, check this out. Now, I will say the boss fights are very lacking in this. So like you gotta think about that. And that ties in with the social sim in a way, right? Like it's not supposed to be intense so much on the combat side, right? This is not going to be a Souls-like or anything like that. So go into it knowing that I think you'll have a good time. If you like social sims, if you like things like Stardew, but you also like a little more action, this might be a great option for you. I do think it's got a great story and a great kind of premise here, and really, really kind of something I thought that was pretty unique in terms of like, things just became magical in this one part of Austria. This is crazy. Like I thought that was such a unique storytelling thing that we experienced. So. I'm going to give it a low steal.
Yeah, I also, with that storytelling, I feel like if it was in the real world, like Hinterberg would be packed.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Like it would be like, you know, you wouldn't be able to move. I would
have been there yesterday.
Yeah.
It's like.
Now, I know we also need to, that this is wrapping up July, we need to say what was our favorite July game. Now, just for a recap for the listeners for the first half of the year, we actually agreed on our favorite month games for every month leading up to July. We'll see what we choose. But we started with the Norp Apologue in January. In February, we had Balatro. In March, we had Boar Blasters. April, it was Pepper Grinder. And then May, it was Animal Well. And June, it was Haunty. So what are you thinking, Tom, for your favorite July game? Our options are Ember Ward, Oh Dear, Angerfoot, Exophobia, and Dungeons of Hinterberg.
This one was closer than most months, but still not that close for me. I think Ember Ward is easily my favorite game of the month. It's actually a game I continue to return to. I have a lot of fun with it. And it's a game that I'm following the development because it is early access. So like I've been following, you know, what they've been adding to the game, and they've added actually quite a bit so far, which is really cool since we played it. It was at the beginning of the month, which is crazy. So Ember Ward for me.
Yeah, I'm going with the same one. I agree. It was a tough July, and honestly, I wasn't sure. I was going between Angerfoot and Ember Ward, and I was like, just looking at the ratings, I was like, I gave Ember Ward certified fresh juice. I gave Angerfoot a steal. There had to be a reason for that, right? So I'm going with Ember Ward as well. It was a nice surprise as well. I always like being surprised by a game, especially one where I'm looking at the gameplay and I'm like, I don't know if this is like for me. And then I go and play it, and it. And I'm just like, this is like way more than I thought it was going to be. So yeah, I'm going with Ember Ward as well for my favorite July game. One of these months, we're going to have multiple certified fresh juices, and it's going to be tough to choose between the two. We were almost there in June because Animal Well, I believe, was right at the end of May. So we almost had Animal Well and Haunty we had to choose from. But
that would have been a tough one.
That would have been real tough. Yeah. I don't even know what I would have. Like I would have had to think about it for longer than a few seconds here.
Well, at the end of the year, we're going to do a wrap up of the year probably, right? Yeah. So we'll do a big old kind of award show, maybe version of the show, kind of looking back at what we reviewed. Yeah. And I mean, like, I don't know. Off the cuff here, I think Animal Well would probably take the spot for me. but Haunty was also really, really good. So it's hard to say. Now, next week, we don't really know exactly what we're playing yet, but there's whatever it is, going to be really interesting to talk about. I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you that for free. We do have listener questions. How do you submit listener questions, Matt?
Well, I think you can join the Fresh Juice Discord. Actually, I know you can because we've got a listener question channel in there. We try to tag everybody every Monday, which is when we record. So if you have any listener questions, throw them in there and we'll definitely answer them during the shows.
Hell yeah. First question comes from longtime listener, longtime questioner, Capolo, who asked, what video game fictional drink or food would you like to try?
Honestly, I've always thought that the shield potions from Fortnite look pretty good to drink. They're like these blue potions. And I think you can actually buy like them, that like there's a drink, but I actually want it in like the big goldfish, like, you know, glass thing. And I just want to like chug it. And I want to get extra shield on me. I want to like glow, you know, from it. But that was the first one that popped in my mind. There's probably others that I'm just not thinking of right now. There's definitely some good stuff in Once Human, but it's like real food. You know, it's not like, you know, it's like French fries or like, you know, stuff like that that I've had, you know. So what about you, Tom?
This is a tough one. This is a tough one. Maybe a mushroom from like a super mushroom from Mario.
Right? Yeah.
Get real big, you know what I'm saying? But honestly, I love sushi, so maybe just Magikarp from Pokemon. I don't know. Maybe a Moo Moo Milkshake, Legend of Zelda. I mean, like, I feel like all of, like, the cool, like, fictional foods are coming from like, Nintendo, right? Like, you know, I don't know. A power flower, who cares? Like, I mean, you're literally eating them in, I mean, like, anything can be eaten by Yoshi, to be honest. So,
yeah.
Moo Moo Milk was the first thing that came to mind, though. And I'm not a milk guy, but like I was like, oh, Moo Moo Milkshake. I was bending the rules a little bit.
Yeah, so that's all right. You know, it's an ingredient then in the in the milkshake. Yeah,
I feel like we're missing like a really intense one.
Yeah, I'm going to just look up real quick. Popular video game foods.
Yeah, look it up.
And I swear, if it just shows me like Doritos. Yeah, mushrooms, the Portal cake. If you play Portal, there's Nuka Cola.
Sure.
That's one. Pac-Man pizza. Oh, Pac-Man cherries? No, that's weird.
I mean, they do kind of look good.
Yeah, there's some soup from Zelda. Kirby macaroons. Oh, that's like the tomato thing in Super Smash that gives you like your you know, drops your percentage down. It's like the tomato with the big M on it.
Apparently it's called
Kirby macaroons. It looks like a tomato. I don't know. Oh, it's the Maximum tomato. That's what it is. I don't know. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, I guess there's some stuff from Super Smash that we could probably think of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the melon from Yoshi's Story, that is also something that you can eat in Smash.
Yeah.
That thing looks good. I'll tell you that.
It does
look good. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm hungry now. I ate before this and I'm hungry again. It's a problem I'm working on. thanks for the question. Follow. Next question goes from Kmore, who asks, what was the first game you ever 100%ed?
Honestly, I never really 100%ed a game. I think until I played Spider-Man Miles Morales on the PS5, I believe, and that was the first game I actually like 100% did everything in. Even like Gears of War games and stuff, I don't think I got like every single achievement or anything like that. So I would probably say that there might have been like an Assassin's Creed game back in the day that I also 100%ed, but I honestly just don't remember. So I'll go with the one that I've done more recently.
For me, there was a summer where I played Gauntlet Dark Legacy solo all summer. Yeah. And I maxed out my level. I do not know if I 100%ed it. Now, the first thing I remember 100%ing is Arkham City. Mm. Went through, got all the Riddler trophies. That was a great experience. So, yeah, that's my answer.
Nice. Are you gonna? How did you do with the other Arkham games? Were you close to 100%ing, or just City was the one?
City was the one. City was the best one in my humble opinion. So, it's so funny. My phone thought I said Siri, but I said City, and it started to listen to me. Stop listening to me. Anyway,
navigating to Arkham City.
That'd be cool. So great question, Kaymore. And last question comes from Arcarp, who asked, how do you guys de-stress after playing stressful games? You do this more than me, 100%.
I de-stress or I play stressful
games? No, you play stressful games more than me. Yeah. But, I definitely have stressful games too, but I want to hear your answer.
Yeah, I mean... Obviously, what comes to mind first is Dark Souls, playing those sort of games. So, and, you know, Maria can attest to this as well. Like, sometimes I'm yelling. Sometimes I'll hit my desk. You know, things get a little out of hand sometimes. But honestly, what I do to de-stress is I close the game and I go maybe watch TV and relax. Or I play a game that's just a lot more chill. You know, maybe I'll load up some Minecraft. Maybe I'll just watch some streams. But honestly, I think most of the time it's just about, you know, closing the game and then going and like watching like one of my favorite shows, like put on some Psych, put on The Office, something that's going to make me laugh. You know, that's usually what's going to get me to de-stress after playing like a Souls game. But yeah, what about you, Tom? What games have you played that really stress you out too?
Golly, I don't know. I mean, Bowser will do it sometimes, but like,
yeah,
I just want next run, next run. And I will say, like, Flesh and Blood, like, this is a physical card game, but like, when I'm there are intense games I get in Flesh and Blood in tournaments, super stressful. And honestly, whether you win or you lose, it still was a stressful experience. And like, I'm sweating, like my armpits are, you know, freaking going crazy. What I do is I probably look like a psychopath, but I just get up and walk around and just look at things until my next round or whatever. And I just like, I'm quiet and I'm just like, let me just look at some stuff, you know, recenter myself. But I probably like look like walking around wide eyed, like, I'm gonna keep, how'd I lose that, you know?
It's very Zen of you, you know?
Yeah, Zen. Well, Zen is the hero in the game right now that's kind of making everybody lose their minds. But
that's ironic.
Yeah, isn't that ironic? Yeah. Bo Burnham? No, wait. Alanis Morissette, I don't know.
Yeah, both of them, sure.
The two of them. But thank you for the question, Arcarp. You're the best. Now, it's the end of the show, which means we're going to go to the rec room. We're going to take a little trip into the rec room. We're going to recommend something that maybe isn't an indie game. Matt, what do you have to recommend this week?
Yeah, this is something that definitely is not an indie game. I was having trouble thinking of what I should recommend. And honestly, I've been on like a biscotti kick. I like, you know, almond, really any flavor biscotti, but I'm a big almond. You know, that's the standard one, I guess. I get like the Trader Joe's one. So it's actually mini biscotti and they just kind of come in like a little, you know, a little container and they're awesome. I just enjoy snacking on them. I always like cookies and things like that that have like a crunch to it, you know, and biscotti's just been like an easy one to go to and it's just delicious. And it's got nuts in it, so it's healthy. So, you know, it's got the protein. No, it's definitely not healthy. But yeah, so I just biscotti. Go out there, get some biscotti if you haven't had it. You know, try it. And if you haven't had it in a while, go get some. You know, I think you're overdue.
Yeah, I mean, this is how are you so bold to make such a wild suggestion for people to try? No, biscotti rocks. It's awesome. Sometimes it's really hard, right?
Yeah.
But I kind of like that. I'm like, it's just like gnawing at it. And then it finally gives and you're like, And then I love dipping biscotti in things.
I haven't tried that actually. What do you dip it in? Like chocolate?
Like coffee. Like coffee or hot chocolate or something like that. Okay. Yeah. Blue cheese dressing. I mean, whatever I'm feeling. I mean, we get a little crazy sometimes, but it's like, it's basically celery.
Yeah.
That's how healthy it is. But this, seeing biscotti, I was just talking to my fiance earlier, and I was like, have you ever had, I tried these cookie things for the first time. And I was like, have you ever had these? She's like, yeah, they're great. I'm like, dude, they're so good. I've seen them forever and I never grabbed them. They're the, I don't know how to pronounce the name of the brand, but M-E-I-J-I.
Meijer.
Meijer?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
M-E-I-J-I?
Yeah. Meijer. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Meijer.
There's my no keyboard. R.
Oh, M-E-I.
J-I.
Oh, J-I. Oh, sorry. I was thinking you were, because there's M-E-I-J-E-R, which is the name of a grocery store, Meijer. So I was just like, that. I just went full autopilot after you said the J.
I think it's okay. I don't know.
Okay.
But they have these Hello Panda chocolate, like, cookie things. It's basically like a little graham cracker. It's like a combo, right?
Oh,
but it's okay. Graham cracker with just chocolate in the middle. They're insanely amazing. They're like,
yeah, I'm looking at them right now.
They go so crazy. They're so good. I wish I didn't have them, because now I'm like, I want them. I want more of them. And like, you know, my fiance is like, well, you don't have to worry about it. You can't get them that many places. Like, you get them at like Five Below or 7-Eleven or something like that. I'm like, well, I'll just get them on Amazon if I'm hungry enough.
Yeah, that's like, where I'm looking at them right now.
And I'm like, and it'll be like a great deal. And I'm like, oh, I'd be stupid not to. Yeah. Anywho,
nice.
My recommendation is a movie this week. I went to go see Long Legs in theaters, a new horror movie. Some saying it's the best horror movie of the year. And I am one of those some. It is super creepy. Now, if you're looking for a classic popcorn jump scare horror movie, this is not going to be it. This is just straight creepy, straight dread. It's kind of slow moving. It's got the a vibe of Silence Meets the Lambs, or
Silence Meets the Lambs. Come on, Silence. Come on in. Come on in.
Come and meet your lambs. Silence of the Lambs meets like Zodiac, and then has like a supernatural twist to it. So it was like so good. And Nick Cage is in it, and Nick Cage plays the antagonist, and he's sublimely weird, as he normally is. And it's just unsettling, weird. Just I don't know, it just felt like super nostalgic too. I mean, it takes place in the 90s, so like that kind of helps. It's like, oh, it's like this feels like a spiritual successor to Silence of the Lambs. So
yeah,
it was I don't know, I was like we were driving home and we're like, I'm still a little unnerved from that movie. So really, really, really good if you're into being unnerved or whatever.
Yeah, I did see, actually, I don't know, I saw some interview or something that, like, I guess the actors in the movie, like, the first time they saw Long Legs was, like, when they were filming it or something like that. And I don't know if that was, like, their genuine reaction. There was something like that where, like, they purposely hid what Long Legs looks like until, I guess, they were filming it. I don't even know what he looks like or what it looks like or whatever. I imagine... it reminds me of spiders. Is it something I'm not going to like?
Nothing to do with spiders.
Okay.
Thanks. Nothing to do with spiders.
Okay.
So
no daddy involved. Yeah. Right.
No daddy. Well, I think there's probably a meaning behind the Long Legs thing. And, you know, you can kind of decipher whether that exists or not, but, it was super, super good. I really liked it. I feel like, in the past like 10 years, we've been getting actual like horror bangers again, because I felt like the 10 years prior to that, like we had some gems here and there, but it was like a lot of just like, this is a scary thing with a lot of jump scares and this is going to be like your thing. But
paranormal now we're getting... activity.
Yeah, exactly. So like, it was cool. So I don't know. Yeah. Check it out.
Nice. Check it out. Nice. Yeah.
But man, it's creepy. So that's gonna do for the show, buddy.
Yeah.
Another it banger is. Of an ep. We're just chugging pumping. Along, pumping them out.
We are also this is gonna be episode 44, so we're approaching that year mark.
Damn.
For the show. Yeah, have to do something special.
Do something crazy. Do something crazy. We'll figure it out. I've been Tommy Fresh. You can find me on Twitter at FreshBudsPod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds, where I interview people from around the flesh and blood community. This week, I have Elaine Hammondtree. She is a dear friend of mine, and she is awesome, does great cosplays, it is a great content creator, and a great player as well. Check her out. And then next week, Brian Gottlieb is joining the show. Brian Gottlieb, if you don't know, is the head developer, lead designer of the game Flesh and Blood. Former Magic the Gathering designer. Wow. Former Magic the Gathering pro player. I mean, he's done it all. He's a cool dude. So, yeah, check that out. Where can people, and well, people can find the rest of this show at Fresh Juice Pod everywhere, actually. Where can people find you, Matt?
Check me out at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. Been doing a lot of Once Human, obviously, streaming it, making videos, all that stuff. So, yeah, that's where you can find me if you're interested in any of that sort of stuff.
Amazing. I can't wait for next week. You know why?
Why?
Because we're going to get juicy.